Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, this is pretty funny. I can't help but start the show by talking about this story. This is interesting. So I had a message that came in, I think, last night it came in on our Montana Talks app. It came from Dom in Kalispell. And, you know, we always get these random messages. And I was like, oh, well, I'll reach out to DOT, see if there's a story or what the story is here. Dom in Kalispell must have been driving back from the inferno at Eastern Washington, because Dom says he was driving back to Montana over a Lookout Pass. There was a highway reader board with the message, "Do your part, stand 6 feet apart." He said, "What the heck is that about?" And I understand why somebody might react to seeing, you know, one of those highway reader board messages, you know, that sometimes tell you, you know, hey, don't text and drive, you know, wear your seatbelt, you know, things that actually keep you safe. So why would they be sharing this outdated COVID propaganda that we all knew at the time and know now? Had nothing to do with keeping us safe. It wasn't grounded in science or, you know, health or anything like that. It was just part of this absurd COVID lockdown propaganda. And we had a different governor at the time who was doing just that, locking down the state of Montana, shutting down schools. Anyway, so I reached out to the Montana Department of Transportation, and, you know, because I was trying to figure out, hey, is this just outdated signage, or is COVID-19, you know, the messaging still being pushed? And I got a note back from the public information officer that apparently this has been an ongoing problem. The Lookout Pass sign at the state line changes to this message upon power loss. We've tried to correct the default message, it reverts to, without success. So anyway, so it's like a default message whenever that sign at Lookout Pass loses power. So how symbolic, though, is that of what's going on elsewhere across the country, where you've literally got our American energy under attack, despite the fact that they're trying to make us more reliant at the federal level. You know, the state's on the right track right now. They're trying to make us more reliant on electric vehicles and electricity. And yet power loss is almost certainly in our future, given the Green New Deal policies being pushed down by Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and John Tester. All right, well, we'll take a quick break here on Montana Talks. We got a great guest kicking off the hour. Amanda Castor is the director of the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation. We're going to talk about state efforts to reduce fuels in our forests, and also suppression efforts when it comes to fighting wildfires, which ties in with that homeowners insurance conversation we had last week. Plus, what about this story? Did you guys see the headline about cloud seeding in the Big Hole? Cloud seeding being considered to help with the precipitation issues in the Big Hole Valley of Montana. We'll talk about that more right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Now, this is pretty funny. You got to be able to laugh at yourselves here every now and then. I was joking about the Montana Department of Transportation, that sign on Lookout Pass being outdated, apparently, when the power goes out. And then I am out of date on my own calendar here. I was thinking we had the DNRC director on the show with us this Monday morning, because that's what I was initially trying to schedule it for. But I went back and looked at our calendar notes here, and she's actually not scheduled to join us until next Monday. I'm already getting a week ahead of myself here, so that's all right. So anyway, well, let's semper gumby, as we always say here in talk radio. We've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about or you want to jump in on the conversation. In fact, it was kind of funny. We went into the break, and we had a caller on the phone lines, and our guest producer, Caden, was just telling him, hey, we got FYI, we got a guest on the show, and so, you know, we may not be able to get to, you know, your call. And then it's like, well, semper gumby. Hey, phone lines are open. So let's go to Mark in Park City first up this hour. Mark, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, I just had a couple curious questions for Esther. You know, since he says he's the only real farmer in the Senate, is like, what did he do in the farm bill or anything at all? I mean, wouldn't that be something he'd be interested in? And there is a lot of farmers in Montana, and you know, everywhere you go, the Kamala Harris and Biden, they're sucking up to their green friends, pushing everything Green New Deal and battery this and battery that and tons of regulations. And you know, it's like, I mean, the waters of the U.S., what's he doing with that?
He'll say one thing and do another. He says one thing and does another, just like he did with the Keystone XL pipeline. He'll come back and tell you that he supports the Keystone XL pipeline, but then he votes against it when it matters the most. He's doing the same thing with the coal miners. I went to this coal rally on Friday night in Roundup, and Senator Tester wasn't there, but he sent a staffer there to read a letter. And, of course, in the letter, oh, I support your coal mining jobs. I support this mine. I'm going to support this legislation for the land swap. He'll tell you that, but then he'll be back in Washington, D.C., undermining that. I mean, look, the reality is that the Signal Peak coal mine, the Bull Mountain mine south of Roundup, why did they have to hold a rally on a Friday night? The same night that they've got a football game in another town, because the mine could shut down by next year. They could be forced to have layoffs at the end of this year. If John Tester was doing his job and wasn't putting these liberal judges on the federal bench to begin with, the mine wouldn't be in danger of shutting down. He is the reason the mine is in danger of being shut down in the first place.
It's really, I mean, it's lots of smoke and mirrors. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate it. 406-294-0970. And then, speaking of that coal rally, there were some numbers that caught my eye. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal was also there. But many of you have asked the question, you see these coal trains go past your house, or you see them as you're driving down the highway, you'll see the coal trains filled with all that beautiful Montana coal. And some of you have said, hey, where does that coal go? Where is that coal headed? Well, about 5 million of the 7 million tons of coal goes to Japan. The Global Coal Sales Group, one of the speakers is with the Global Coal Sales Group, and I've got a full write-up on our Montana Talks website. They market Signal Peak Energy coal from the Bull Mountains mine near Roundup. 500 trains of coal that head west to Vancouver, British Columbia. The coal goes to places like Japan, South Korea, Chile, and the United States, with about 5 million of the 7 million tons of coal heading to Japan. They've got about 300 jobs at that mine, mostly full-time employees, and then I think about 30 or 40 of those jobs are contract employees. Here's what Parker Phipps, the Signal Peak CEO, said at that rally Friday night, because the mayor of Roundup put this rally for Montana coal together, because she says, if this legislation that's being put forward by Senator Steve Daines does not go through, they could see layoffs at the mine by the end of the year, and the whole mine could shut down by next year. Now, that's what you heard on this show last week, but what we heard Friday night, Signal Peak CEO Parker Phipps, who spoke at the rally, he said the mine would have closed down a year ago. Because remember, you got liberal federal judges who are standing in the way of the mine. Liberal federal judges that were put on the bench by Senate Democrats, like Max Baucus and then John Tester over the years. So this is how he will do the Tester two-step. He will come before you and pretend to support your mine. All the while, he is responsible. He and his party is responsible for trying to shut your mine down. But what the Signal Peak CEO pointed out is that the mine would have shut down a year ago, but Montana Governor Greg Gianforte pressed for amendments to keep the mine up and running with access to coal through the states because the feds are getting in the way. That's the whole point behind Senator Steve Daines' legislation is that they want to get access to private land to mine the coal. Otherwise, the feds and the federal judges, especially under the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, John Tester regime, will stand in the way of those coal mining jobs. All right, full story, MontanaTalks.com. Sue in Ovando next up. Plus, we got Steve in Cascade and phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Back right after this.
Shop Macy's VIP sale going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Let's go to Sue in Ovando, listening to KMPT. Sue, what's going on?
Hello. I just have a question. I'm going to lose you. We're traveling, but I want to know about the Supreme Court, the people that are running for Supreme Court, and who's conservative and who isn't.
Yeah, what have you seen or heard so far yourself?
Just a bunch of really crazy ads that come in the mail. I haven't heard much of it.
Yeah, that my mailbox is starting to fill up as well. Before you lose cell phone coverage, because unfortunately you can get better cell coverage in Iraq or Afghanistan than parts of Montana, as you know, what is important to you in a Supreme Court justice? What are you looking for?
That they don't legislate from the bench, that they go back to just saying whether things are constitutional or not and making those kinds of rulings rather than saying, oh, we don't like this law and we'll do it this way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the phone call. And I'll give you my answer. And of course, other listeners can give you their answer as well. I'll give you my answer here in just a second. But it looks like we've got a few folks on the phone lines that want to talk about the Supreme Court elections here in Montana. Next up, let's go to Steve in Cascade. Steve, what's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. Thank you for taking my call. I have the same question as the previous caller. That Great Falls radio is still off the air for a month or more now, and we can't hear your great show.
Oh, yeah, their antenna got hit by lightning, so they're working to replace it. Hopefully it'll be fixed a little bit sooner, a little bit faster, but yeah, no, I hear you there.
By the end of the year, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, who's the two conservative candidates for the Montana Supreme Court that you said before?
All right. Well, you have this. So you have the same question that Sue in Ovando has. All right. So basically, and I'll leave you on hold for just a second here in case you're having trouble picking up the signal out of Great Falls right now with their antenna being hit by lightning. So if let me first caution you, although I don't think that either you or Sue would want to see this happen. If you're somebody who has seen a very biased left-wing Montana Supreme Court where they have abused their position of power to push their personal political agenda, and you're somebody who wants the other side to take power to do the same thing, but from your perspective, that's not what Corey Swanson and Dan Wilson are going to do. These guys are simply going to be fair, and they're going to rule based off our Constitution. And these are going to be pro-Constitution justices on the Montana Supreme Court. So you may not agree with their every decision because they're not going to be there to push a personal political agenda. They're going to be there to restore fairness and justice to the Montana Supreme Court. And those two candidates, based off of everything I've seen, heard, I've known Corey Swanson for around 20 years. We served together, not in the same unit at the same time, but we've served together. He's an Iraq War veteran. Incredible guy. He's the Broadwater County attorney. He's actually still serving as a Fulbright colonel in the Montana Army National Guard. And then separately, Judge Dan Wilson is the judge who stood up and stood for freedom when Democrat Governor Steve Bullock was going around and ordering small businesses to shut down their business. He was the judge who said, no, that's a violation of our Constitution. You can't do that. So Judge Dan Wilson and Broadwater County Attorney Corey Swanson are kind of known as the sons of Montana that people are, people are speaking very highly of. All right, let's see. Next up on the phone lines, I got through Sue. We got through Steve. I think we had, who was online? Oh, did I miss? I thought we had another caller on the line there. All right, let's see. We got several on the phone lines. Bill in the Flathead. Bill, what's going on?
Hi. A question would, I'd love to know, I thought the Democrats are all against, are all for the Pure Prairie or the American Prairie Reserve buying up Montana, but yet they're against somebody like Tester's opponent buying up a ranch, against the private sector buying up big property, but they're all for American Prairie Reserve. I still say it's just a big insider trading scheme. They want publicly shared corporations, companies controlling the market. A private sector, private person can't. They don't want that. They can't benefit off that like they do with trading stocks and stuff with their family members, Pelosi and them.
I think you touched on a very important point here. When they attack Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy for buying a ranch and getting into the cattle industry, getting into the beef business, however you want to describe it, I think that is really what is going on here. Look, John Tester put eco-terrorist Tracy Stone Manning in charge of the Bureau of Land Management. And what has she done while at the helm of the BLM? She has given favors, special favors, to the APR. The APR is the outfit that is trying to kick, that is kicking ranchers off the land here in Montana. They don't want you ranching here. They don't want you mining coal here. They want to run this land. I think you're exactly right. I think that's the bigger picture here is they despise the fact that a Navy SEAL veteran like Tim Sheehy was able to be successful in the private sector, so successful that he was then able to buy a cattle ranch and keep that land in cattle production. They want to remove the land from production. They want to remove the land from production, meaning they don't want that land as ranch land. So, of course, they despise the fact that Tim Sheehy was successful. And like so many veterans before him, they came home from war and then they started a ranch because they wanted to be in agriculture. We need more families to be able to go into production agriculture. But the APR and these other outfits are trying to prevent that from happening. That's why they despise Tim Sheehy. I think that's a huge point that you just made there. Thanks for the call, Bill. Let's see. We got Terry in Billings. Terry, what's going on? Terry, is this Carrie?
It is Carrie.
Carrie Seekins Crow. Okay. I got a text from you that you were trying to call in, but the phone lines were full. It looks like you made it through. Thanks for calling in.
Well, I'm so glad that they're full. It means people are passionate about these issues, and that's exactly what we need for this upcoming election, is people who are passionate, because these issues, as you and I both know, are very, very important.
Yeah, you were at the Cole rally. I got to hear some of your speech at the Cole rally on Friday night. Such an important rally. Isn't it crazy that we actually have to rally for things like this? This should just be expected that all of our elected officials would support Montana Coal, right?
Well, I absolutely agree with you. And, of course, you could feel my passion, I'm sure, about coal. But the issue for me is much more than just coal. It's about government control, and it's about these folks who think that they know what's best for us instead of allowing us to decide what's best for our families. And that's really what I see is going on. You just mentioned it. It's about control. It's not really even about coal. If they control our energy, they control our lives.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Representative Kerry Seekins Crow. And now with redistricting, which seat are you running for in the state legislature right now?
House District 39 is going to be my new district. It basically is the same one that I had before. So I'm really blessed to be still representing the Billings Heights, and I feel it's very important. And that brings me to I-126 very quickly. The problem with I-126 is I believe it'll take transparency out of elections because you no longer have to state which party you're in. And so people, and it's just going to be about money. It's going to be like prom queen or prom king, right? You don't have to show that you're competent. You don't have to show that you know anything about issues. It's going to be about spending money and having taglines. And I think that that's going to be very sad. Montanans want to know what you stand for. And even if we disagree, that's okay. Be transparent. Have those conversations. And it's okay that we disagree. But that's how we figure things out, is by having big conversations. And I think I-126 will take that away from our communities.
Well, and it's very obvious that the millions of dollars funding those ballot initiatives is all coming from out of state and left wing mega donors. It's very clear that they're trying to figure out a way to stop Montanans from being effectively represented. They've got to change our elections because they don't like the fact that Montana has become more of a red state. So they want to change with our elections in order to try to skew the results. Kerry Seekins Crow, great to hear from you. Let's see. Next up, let's go to Susan Campbell Renault in Missoula. Susan, we got about 45 seconds before the break.
I just want to invite everyone in your listening audience that is within the Ravalli, Mineral County, and Missoula areas that would like to drive to Westside Lanes at 1516 Wyoming Street, right off of I-90. We are going to have a debate party tonight because Tim Sheehy is probably going to wipe the floor of John Tester for the final debate. It is going to be live, broadcasting from the PBS studios in Missoula, but Chester did not want a live audience. So the live audience is going to be over at the bowling alley, and we're going to have refreshments.
Very cool. The bowling alley in Missoula for a watch party. Thanks for the call.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Veterinarian shortages are not new, but large animal veterinarians that farmers and ranchers rely on continue to reach historic lows. New data out from Penn State University shows that 50% of rural veterinarians currently in practice are within 5 years of retirement, and only 5% of practicing veterinarians in the United States are for food animal veterinarians working on food, fiber, or milk-producing animals. What's more alarming is that most veterinarians that are graduating from college are going into small animal veterinarian services. Nationally, only about 3-4% of graduating DVMs enter the large livestock practice area. Well, in other news, now that the Senate and House approved another short-term funding bill ensuring the government's continued operation through December 20th, part of that continuing resolution allocated funds for select federal programs, including the Livestock Mandatory Reporting Program. Groups like the National Pork Producers Council say that livestock mandatory reporting has offered transparent information on price trends for cattle, pigs, and sheep since 2001, as well as various purchase and sales methods, keeping ag producers informed in the countryside. I'm Lee Nordblund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We're still waiting to get Lieutenant Colonel Steve Scheller on the phone lines, unless I got the calendar dates wrong again. There's a very good likelihood that I, got a whole week ahead of myself with the whole calendar for today's show. That'll happen, especially with such a busy week that we got coming up for you, because we'll be live from Great Falls for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association annual meeting on Wednesday. Then I'll be live from the Montana Equipment Dealers Association annual meeting in Whitefish on Thursday. So very busy week. So the likelihood that I might have gotten a week ahead on my calendar certainly could happen. But Kaden, maybe you can just double check the email traffic with Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller there. Make sure we got the right date on the calendar. If not, we'll drive on. No worries. Let's see. Rick in Billings next up on the phone lines. Rick, what's going on?
How you doing, Aaron?
Doing great. Thanks for the call.
Right. So anyway, here's the oil's bad, coal's bad, right? So they just don't like that energy reserved in private hands. You know, once the government forces them out of the industry and the government takes over coal and oil, they're going to say, oh, hey, coal's good now. You know, we do it much better. We can burn it cleaner. Oil's good, you know, if you ask me.
Well, yeah, you're right. Like, they don't want to support anything that works right now, anything that's reasonable right now. They're attacking hydropower dams in the Pacific Northwest. They're attacking coal. Heck, the environmental wacktivists at the Northern Plains Resource Council, which is a phony, out-of-state, George Soros-funded organization, And yet they just have a little office in Billings, and they were out protesting the natural gas power plant in Laurel. They are opposing everything. And look at where that has put us now. The Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet this morning highlighted a report from the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, from NERC, warning that wholesale electricity markets serving the Federal Reserve 9th District are at high risk of shortfalls in electricity supply over the next 10 years. And then in another report that Evelyn Pyburn shared, this is a write-up by Robert Bryce, who's spoken at the MECA annual meeting in Great Falls a few times. He says, look, yeah, there's beginning to be a bipartisan consensus supporting nuclear energy, but there's no way that nuclear power and even these smaller modular reactors are going to come online in time. And of the dozens of companies that have announced interest in nuclear, Bryce says maybe only three of them will actually succeed. And they won't even be up until running until 2030, if not later.
Well, you know, I've read history, and I'm sure you have too, and I'm not quite sure what their time frame is, you know, for actually destroying this country, because that's what they're doing intentionally. I don't know their time frame, you know. But to them, it seems, you know, crash and burn this place, you know, and then we'll pick up the pieces later. And then everyone, you know, Christianity, you know, I believe this. I believe there's a direct threat on me and my family and everyone I know that believes in God and believes in Christ. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm a white man, right? So that makes me a racist. I'm a white man who believes in God and who believes in Christ, you know, who's never harmed a soul in his life, but I'm still a racist.
Well, look at the peaceful pro-life protesters they're putting behind bars right now. And, yeah, I laughed there, even though, you know, it wasn't a joke what you shared. It's a very serious concern in this country right now, especially with the weaponization of government in the Biden Justice Department. But the reason I laughed is those of you with kids or grandkids, and Rick, thanks for the call. But yeah, those of you with kids or grandkids, if you've ever watched the Lego movie, they have this song that one of the characters sings in it. Everything is awesome. But then I joked on the radio, this was probably a couple years ago, that now instead of singing the song, everything is awesome, the song is everything is racist, because they will call everything racist. I mean, even in this Senate race, they're throwing out the stupid race card. Give me a break. And I think that's why the polls for Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy are even stronger. Because the fake news media throws out the race card, and I think that absolutely disgusts Montanans that card would be thrown out there like that. And so I think there's a pushback to it, and it actually backfired on the Democrats when they throw out the Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton racism card. I think the voters reject it because they're so disgusted by this everything is racist garbage that always goes on. Lucas in Kalispell, next up on the phone lines here. Lucas, good to hear from you.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, just wanted to talk about the ballot initiatives again. I know the past couple of times I've been calling in trying to mention this, but it really is important, especially the election ones, because they are trying to change the way that we vote to be like California and Alaska. In California, there has been a state Senate race with this top two primary system, and they're trying to bring top four to Montana. But this race was in one of the most Republican state Senate districts, and it ended up being two Democrats on the ballot because the Republicans split the vote. So even in majority Republican areas, it doesn't even guarantee that there's going to be a Republican on the ballot. And, you know, this is, I was looking at the funding on the COPP website. 98% of the money that's supporting at least the election one, I'm pretty sure the abortion one as well, but 98% is out of state, including from a Soros-backed organization. And, you know, I've talked to the legislators all around, and they say that this is going to be a disaster. But what's interesting is I was looking on Twitter, and even some of the Democrats are against it. Even they acknowledge how much of a train wreck this would be. So it really is just something that's being pushed by the political establishment using out-of-state dollars.
On the far, yeah, the far left with some... with some moderate Republicans who are afraid that they couldn't win a primary because they're too moderate, so they want to mess with the elections, and they'll even jump in bed with these out-of-state left-wing special interests to mess with our elections. Yeah, it's just like, come on, guys. Yeah, Stockholm Syndrome at its worst here. Great to hear from you, Lucas Schubert, candidate for the state legislature there in the Flathead. We do now have Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller on the phone lines with us. Colonel Scheller, an honor to have you on the show. Man, I'll tell you what, folks here in Montana are so excited to hear that you're going to be in Montana for the Marine Corps Ball in Bozeman and a speaking engagement at MSU and more. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I hope we didn't miss you earlier. Our phone lines kept filling up, so I apologize if you got stuck trying to call through the phone lines here.
Yeah, I did. I got through those, so all good.
Okay, well, I apologize about that. We should have just called you direct there. Hey, for folks who don't remember your story, how do you share your story? I remember when you first went public with that now viral video on social media. And I can tell you, your fellow veterans, especially Iraq and Afghanistan veterans back here across Montana, were calling into the show singing your praises. And they were so proud of you for standing up and speaking some truth.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. It's gotten back into the news cycle just with the election season upon us. You know, Vice President Harris was on the National Security Council, made some mistakes, obviously, probably one of the worst plans coming out of the National Security Council in the last 50 years. And so it's a topic in this election. So I've been hitting the speaking circuit, going to different events and talking about it, because a lot of people don't vote based on national security, you know, foreign diplomacy, but it's really important. The United States military, I think, needs some changes. We need a new, strong Secretary of Defense. And so when I made the statements, this was 2.5 years ago now, it was August of 2021, I basically just pointed out some of the long list of mistakes, you know, pulling military troops out before American citizens, trying to do it at a arbitrary date of September 11th rather than waiting when the Taliban hides in Pakistan in the winter. We abandoned Bagram Air Base. We left 7,000 prisoners in the prison. I mean, the list goes on and on. So I think I just made some common sense statements, but it got very contentious. So,
yeah. For those who don't know, Lieutenant Colonel Scheller is the bold Marine Corps leader who stood up after the Afghanistan withdrawal debacle and uttered these words in a viral video. I have been fighting for 17 years. I am willing to throw it all away to say to my senior leaders, I demand accountability. He later authored the book, Crisis of Command, How We Lost Trust and Confidence in America's Generals and Politicians. But yeah, he will be the headliner at the Marine Corps Ball in Bozeman a little over a month from now in November, just before Veterans Day. He'll also be giving a talk at Montana State University, and I know I personally plan on attending that talk. Our shortest break of the hour, more with Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller right after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
He risked it all. He sacrificed it all to speak up and demand accountability of our leaders, not only back in Washington, D.C., but specifically at the Pentagon as well. And he paid a price for it. But I'll tell you what, Stu Scheller, Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, I know a lot of folks are excited to see you at the Marine Corps Ball and some other events coming up in Bozeman in November. I was in Butte just a couple of weeks ago or so, and they had the traveling wall. I've been to the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. before, and it's always an incredible, powerful experience. But there was something about seeing the Vietnam Wall back home and in Butte, Montana, because to me, this disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, I feel like Iraq and Afghanistan veterans have a sense of the betrayal that our Vietnam veterans felt, because that's what I've heard from so many of our fellow Afghanistan veterans, is they just felt like it was a betrayal the way this whole withdrawal was conducted.
Absolutely. Vietnam, you wish we would have learned some of those lessons, and we just didn't. And the problem was, after Vietnam, we didn't go back and hold any general officers accountable. What we did was we went away from the draft, all volunteer force, and really made the general officers maybe more important without ever holding them accountable for a lot of their tactical and strategical failures. And we pretty much have done the same thing. And it's one of those things where when a war is 2 decades long, it's like, well, if none of them can be held accountable, then we're not going to try and fire the last one. But my position would be this final chapter, at least in Afghanistan, there is no better example of just terrible decisions that were made. And if we as a nation, as a president, as a Congress, can't hold a single general officer accountable for what is obvious failures, then the system's broken, and we need to go back. We need to have a strong Secretary of Defense that can rebuild this thing, because the United States military has a lot of great resources. I mean, they have a $1 trillion budget. They have the best young talent, the best training resource facilities. But the problem is, we have leadership that is self-serving, will spin a narrative, is not honest, doesn't hold themselves accountable,
and it's really degrading our ability to be effective. So I'm hoping there's some changes in the winds of the future.
I interviewed a guy who spoke at the, I think it was like a de Tocqueville conference in France once, and he said the big takeaway, what everybody, left, right, et cetera, we're talking about, is we have the accountable class and we have the unaccountable class. And this is across the board. It's not just at the Pentagon. It's in corporate America. It's in our political leadership. There is the accountable class and the unaccountable class.
Absolutely. I mean, Hillary Clinton's emails, if there was a young Lance Corporal that had a private server with a bunch of classified information that could be broken into, they would go to jail. And I think that's a perfect example of how some people at the top seem to be unaccountable for whatever reasons, money, power. But it really strikes to the soul of the values of our American system where, you know, at least under the law, all people should be treated equal. And we're just starting to see, I think, more and more of cracks in that system. And that's really, it's a foundational problem that, to your point, all levels of government have that problem. But I think even more so than just unaccountable, right now we have people in government that it's not performance-based. So in the military, every person, every officer in all four branches, they get evaluated based on a subjective evaluation. So if I'm a mid-level infantry commander, my five subordinates, I rank them 1 through 5 based on my opinion. And so what people figure out is they don't have to necessarily be the best at their job. They just have to have their boss like them and rank them number one. And those are two very different things. And over 40 years, those four-star generals, because that's how long it takes to make them, they've gotten their bosses to like them the best, and it's not necessarily the best performer. And so I think that's also a fundamental flaw of a lot of our government institutions, and that's why you have these people without any moral courage at the top, because they've been conditioned for an entire career to just give their bosses what they want.
Yeah, and you need the ability to have a disagreement. You need the ability to take risk. That's what has made this country so successful, are the risk takers. But we have a system that's set up to basically punish people for taking risks or for speaking up. How much do you think the COVID jab, you know, also fed into this, that the despicable way that our veterans and our troops were treated as they were forced to either be kicked to the curb or get the jab that put many of them at a health risk?
I honestly couldn't wrap my brain around that. That was happening almost the exact same time as the Afghanistan thing. But when you're talking, I mean, I know mass sergeants major that served for 17, 18 years, decided they didn't want to get the shot, whatever your opinion is, to kick those people out of the military and not an honorable discharge is it should be criminal. And so I was really disgusted at the way that they were willing to treat service members, whether they agreed with it or not. There is just a way you can treat a human, especially a service member that sacrificed as much as they have. And the United States military just didn't have the moral courage to do it. It was a political initiative, and our senior leaders mostly are devoid of any courage. None of them are willing to stand up for those individuals. What is encouraging is I think if President Trump is elected, that he can very easily reinstate, back pay, right a lot of those wrongs. At a bare minimum, those service members should be getting upgrades and all be getting honorable discharges.
He's talked about cleaning out those upper ranks too. That you've been calling out here today, Lieutenant Colonel.
He really should. I mean, there's historical precedence for it. After World War One, a guy named Marshall came in and did the same thing. He was the Secretary of the Army then. We didn't have a Secretary of Defense like we do nowadays. But that's what allowed someone like Eisenhower to ascend and led to our success in World War II in a lot of ways. Right now, we're in the same place. A lot of those archaic general officers that are people pleasers need to be cleared out.
Clean house, drain the swamp, whatever tagline you want to use, time to get it done. Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, honored to have you coming to Montana here a little over a month from now. I've got the details at MontanaTalks.com. Thanks for your time this morning.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Shop Macy's VIP sale, going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.